Thanks for joining us for the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. Mass MEP believes that there are some elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or even unlocking their growth, that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations. So every episode, take a journey with us as we speak with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts. Whether we're in Boston, Worcester, or out in Springfield, maybe even in the Berkshires, we'll be here every week and we'll explain to you more about manufacturing and what's happening right in your own backyard. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm Haley Steele.
And I'm Emma Millman.
And we have been gone for a really long time. So we apologize for that. We're not quite sure where we've been, what we've been doing, what has happened, but somehow
we've spaced out and here we are.
Right? About a month transpired. Yeah. And we were getting such demanding notifications from people saying, where's the podcast? What's going on? Why aren't you putting out a new episode that we came together? I would love to say that last statement was true, but we're going
to
go with
people going to do on their commute and listen to the Mass MEP podcast.
Correct. Everybody's going back to work now. So that's the way to do it. But in true spirit of summer, we have a little bit of a twist today on our podcast. So you get to listen to the two of us for your commute, and we're going to dive into manufacturing myths, and then we're going to debunk those myths. So there's a couple of reasons why we wanted to do this. Emma had this great idea and said, hey, let's talk about manufacturing myths, because there was one statement that we will hit on throughout here that she hears pretty frequently and said, you know what, we need to let people know that is not legit. Mm-hmm. And so we need to dig into that.
And yeah, we can say more often than not, the belief, it doesn't align with the reality. So there's a lot of stigmas behind manufacturing that people believe to be factual, but they're not. And it's just because, you know, if you're not in the industry, you're not exposed to it mm-hmm. from an inside point of view. So it's good to kind of pull out what you hear all the time, at least like for me, my age, I hear it all the time of like basic questions that people pull up and I'm like, that's not entirely accurate.
Right. So. And it's funny because probably a year and a half ago, you may have thought it was.
I thought the exact same things. I was the one saying it in conversation and now I'm the one correcting it. So. Hey, a little personal growth. Okay.
It's great. It's fantastic.
We've expanded our horizons and we've learned some new things.
Yeah. It's awesome. And a part of who we are obviously at Mass MEP is our audience is our manufacturers, but there could be that one-off chance that somebody's listening that may not necessarily be in manufacturing. And right now we're going through this transition in manufacturing, definitely across the state of Massachusetts. And part of our job as a service provider at Mass MEP is to make sure that we are educating and we're letting people know what really goes on and what really exists in the world of manufacturing. So the manufacturing audience that's listening, you're going to want to have your non-manufacturing friends listen to this, because our role in being there to advise and support our manufacturers is because of what's going to happen in these next couple of years. And you'll understand this a little bit more significantly as we go through some of these myths, but right now there is going to be a large age gap and a large skills gap. And the tribal
nation.
Yes, there's that tribal knowledge that's going to be leaving with that group of people. And I think also, I mean, yeah, now we've added this great resignation on top of it. Even before that, though, that manufacturing skill set, that we started with for those individuals that have been doing this for a really long time and are getting ready to transition out, there's nobody behind to fill in that pipeline. And so we want to let you know that manufacturing is a lot more than the days of our grandparents, for some of us, even our parents. So we're going to go through these myths and we're going to debunk these myths. And hopefully you'll learn a couple things from this as we go through this podcast today. The 8 top myths. And as you'll hear these myths, like Emma said, she's like got great statistics behind these, great support that also she has put into this to show you and give you that knowledge as to what's going to happen.
Yes. And it's also, I think, incredibly important to at least be aware of, because if you think of times, like I always go back to COVID because the world froze, right? But you still needed things. You're still a person living. And what community, what industry was able to kind of be the driving force of that? It's manufacturing. So when you think of things like this, it's easy to say you don't work in it, so it doesn't affect you, but it affects your day-to-day down to buying to the toothpaste that you're using when you brush your teeth in the morning, to the bedding on your bed when you go to bed. I mean, it all ties into manufacturing. So it's good to be aware of where things are coming from and how they're being created, but the reality of what the industry is as a whole.
Yeah. You make a good point there too. I'm in saying, you know, what happened with COVID. And I think the other part of it too, is we started to realize that we need to do a lot more onshore manufacturing and keeping it local and keeping it at home in the United States. So yes, we do understand that there's pieces of it that, you know, probably do, but what it has told us is that we do need to start looking at things a little differently. And if we don't start doing that and start drumming up this pipeline, that is probably
going to be risky business for the United States.
Exactly. It's going to be tough for us. All right. So let's dig in. So first myth, manufacturing is a poor career choice.
It's like that stigma that it's seen as a job you're kind of frozen in. You don't get to advance anywhere. It's a poor career choice health-wise. Factories are dirty. So, you know, the air you're breathing in, the machines you're working on, it's just high risk. But it's actually not that. So again, this is a myth. This is not the reality of it. So, manufacturing is a very highly skilled profession in all areas, you know, from the top of the ladder to the bottom, it doesn't matter where you're at on it. It does require some sort of skill set. But manufacturing accounts for over 12 million people. So it's the 5th largest employment sector in the US.
Yeah.
So as far as a poor career choice, you're in the top 5 biggest industries in the country. So I think that stands for itself, but you know, there's more than 81% of jobs that don't require work experience for an entry-level position, but that's actually the perk, not a con, because it allows you to come in and they give you training. They're investing in you. You get the training directly from your employers. And that way, you know that you're hands-on. Not only are you continuously educating yourself, but with that education, more opportunities open up for you because now you have a skill set you didn't come in with.
Yeah.
So it just betters you as an employee. You know, 9% in the US is our manufacturing workforce. So when you hear that 9%, it sounds small, but on the flip side of it, it's 36% of all of the engineers. So when you think, you know, all throughout engineering, you know, like mechanical engineering, we could list them all out. It's still 36% of all of those engineers work in this industry. You can talk about a poor career choice, or you can talking about low skills, but there's an incredibly high reward. For example, people in manufacturing on average earn about 7% more than people in, say, the service industry. So if you think about it in terms of why we're comparing it to a service industry, both require no skill when you walk into it. You get taught how to do that. Mm-hmm. When it comes to this, you walk out, not only are you now, you've gotten trainings and you've educated yourself, but now you're making 7% more than someone in an industry that's not too far away. And there's a lot of stability. So, you know, the turnover rate is over time consistently going down. High tenure is everything's rising, and I think that there's just a lot of opportunity for manufacturers, and a lot of what goes on around you involves this industry, and you have no idea just how intertwined it is. So again, it's just really important to know. Times have shifted.
Yeah, it's so I've obviously been in the marketing realm for a quarter of a century. That's going to age me right there. However, I too did not realize that, you know, in the days of when I was in school, it was marketing and advertising. You know, you have to be at an advertising agency or whatever it is, but it's not true. I was a marketing manager for a manufacturer, and they were the only manufacturer. They were German owned, but they were based in Northern Kentucky. And it was just as critical to have a marketing person in there as it was to have a customer service representative, as it was to have a sales representative, you know, an operations manager, down to anyone that was out on the shop floor. We all existed and all had jobs because of each one of us in our roles. So you right. don't, yeah, you just don't realize.
We think of it too. If you're not someone who talks to people all the time and you have people in sales that are constantly conversing with clients, they know firsthand what the clients are asking and what they're looking for. It's them relaying the information. It kind of has that ripple effect through each department because all of them have an impact. It's not the same impact, but they all have an impact.
Right. I know we talk to a lot about, obviously, you know, the last 2 years and what it changed for a lot of people when it came to the workforce. But I know you say in here, you have information about the benefits and how now they've adjusted so much for their work-life balance as well. You know, offering a second shift, the third shift. You maybe work, you know, you might work your 40 hours, but your 40 hours may be, you know, four 10-hour days, or, you know, it might be, and those four 10-hour days might be two 10-hour days, Monday and Tuesday, and maybe a Friday and a Saturday, depending on what your needs are. So that's part of the world that we're moving into now, and what we're offering to people as an entire unit. I think if that was the one thing that people found out, was that people can still do their jobs. They sometimes they just need more than a little bit more money in their pocket, but knowing, like you said, I like how you said when we froze for 2 years, you know, that was, it's a good point.
Kind of like some, we hit pause.
Yeah.
But to play off that too, another fact off of that, I had mentioned earlier how there's lower turnover. So it's consistently going down. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why manufacturing has been successful in that area is because of how much that they're investing into their employees. It's not just training, but they earn 32% more in benefits per hour than employees in the service industry. Wow. So if you can, you break that down, you can see the impact in just 1 hour, it's 32% more. People don't want to leave. Mm-hmm. So their schedule's flexible. You know, if they want to pick up another shift or they need to change hours, there's options now getting put into place. Working hybrid, you know, say you have children at home and your kid's homesick, instead of taking a sick day yourself, you're now able to work from home. So there's a lot of flexibility, I think, but it's really investing back in the people.
Yeah. All right. So it is not a poor career choice. Number one,
it's not a poor career choice.
It's actually, if you ask us, we'll tell you it's a phenomenal choice. And we know a lot of manufacturers out there that we ourselves would be more than happy to go and work for one day. However, we do really love being with all the manufacturers, which is why we stay at Mass MAP. So, but there are some phenomenal manufacturers out there, and just reach out to us and we can connect you to that. Okay. Manufacturing is for men.
Men, this I hear so often.
Yeah.
Still in this day of age.
Yeah.
But no, women can thrive in manufacturing. 47% of our total workforce is women. In manufacturing in specific, 30% of the workforce is women. So, you know, it doesn't match that overall workforce, but it's still increasing. It's still getting there. There's more and more women every day in manufacturing. 1 in 4 women are manufacturing leaders. They're running plants. They're running these companies. Again, 25%, but it's 25%. It's growing. You know, it's not something that happens overnight. We're still getting there. But yeah, 30% of a little bit over 12 million people are women in this industry. So I talk about it on one of the committees that I sit in on. I think there's 5 women on it. So it's like, you know, there's good representation, at least from what I've seen personally. And look at us here, 2 women.
Yep.
Our boss, woman. Yep. And a center director, woman. It's all mixed in now.
Yeah, you're right. You are correct. No, it's definitely, and this is one of the organizations we work with, is it's literally called Women in Manufacturing, WIM for short. And they are a phenomenal program. They are across the United States. They do events everywhere. They have a national conference every year. So we did International Women's Day. So yes, we love to honor our women that work in manufacturing. So I can now say that I have been a woman that has worked in manufacturing for almost about 6 years, almost 7 years. So it's pretty exciting. Yeah. Didn't realize that, but now I can say that. So yeah, so women can thrive in manufacturing. They are, it is everywhere. So please do so. It's funny. I know one of our members of our boards had spoke to us one time speaking about women in manufacturing, and she talked about a position that she was filling and had a woman apply for it. Actually, I think she encouraged the woman to apply for it because she saw what she did in her downtime and saw she was made jewelry. And because she was threading the jewelry the way that she was, she saw an upskilled manufacturing position that was a leveled up from where she was currently on the shop floor, and said, you have the skills for this. The way that she was sewing with her patience, with the stability of her hand. And sure enough, she put her in that upskill position, and the woman is thriving in that spot. So it's, so it's there. It's there. Not to say a man can't thread a needle and sew his own stuff if he needs to. Absolutely.
The message is get to know your employees and you never know.
Yeah.
You never know what else they could offer.
Right. All right. So this definitely is a big one that we, as a manufacturing society as a whole, at the NIST level, you know, at the NIST MEP level, at the MEP levels in each of one of our states, all manufacturers, manufacturing is the 3 Ds: dark, dirty, and dangerous. And that is not the case anymore. Yeah.
That's one of the things I thought prior to coming in here. And then I stepped foot in AccuRounds and I said, I will eat my words, Mike Tomasi, because your place is crystal clean.
Yeah. Their floor, this is awful. This is going to show
a lot. There's not dust on the ground. There's not hair on the ground. Like, no exaggeration.
Don't judge me right now, but I would be able to eat. If I dropped a piece of food on their floor and call 5 seconds, I'd have no problem. My kitchen, maybe a little bit dodgier.
The dog hair on my floor.
Oh. Not happy.
You go into AccuRounds, everything has a place. Yeah. Everything is pristine. It's shiny.
Yeah.
It's much different. Yeah. Everyone thinks it's like getting your hands dirty. You're working on a line. There's safer ways to go about it now. Yeah. But it's also much cleaner, just basic health. It's evolved and right now it's pristine.
And obviously we owe a lot of that to, of course, OSHA has a big, to do with that and making our work safe environment, healthier, safer. But also what happens with a lot of the manufacturers is continuous improvement and them adding things like you perfectly saying, you know, like everything has a place, right? So when you 5S or you go lean in your manufacturing, also this kind of connects to, so where manufacturing is today is what connects to another one of our myths that we're going to talk to, but they're keeping it clean and how it is automated and how we run machinery to know that, you know, people are okay and they're working properly at their space. So there's so many different visions now that people see, not to say these weren't in place years ago, because they have been around for a really long time. If you all want to go back and look into how long Six Sigma has been around, Agile, all of the different styles you can use, 5S, they have been around for a really long time. However, it's just, it got to a point where manufacturers started to see we need to keep the workforce around and these are the ways to do it. And it also put the green back into their pockets, right? There wasn't so much waste where it's right. going out the door. And we have maybe inventory that's sitting on a floor for a year's time and it doesn't go anywhere. So you're not making any money on that. So how do we streamline that? How do we do a one piece flow? That's the type of stuff. Those are the adjustments. And that's what we, that's the continuous improvement. And that's where we come into play with a lot of that. We have a lot of experts that on our team at MassMEP are project managers that are, you know, they're green belt, black belt certified, Lean Six Sigma, 5S, Kaizens, doing some value stream mapping, anything we consider in our house of lean, that's where we can help with that out with that. That's AccuRounds right there. That's what they do. That's their culture that they believe in, and that's what they stand for. And that's how they're constantly, they do a very good job of the 5S. They do the good job of the culture. They do a great job of the work-life balance, the upskilling. He sprinkles a little bit of that throughout the entire organization. So yeah.
I want to touch back on him too. And the last myth as well.
All right. So far it's a great career choice. It's for anybody that wants to go out and work, man, woman, indifferent, anybody.
Any able-bodied human.
Exactly. And you more than likely can probably find something that fits into things that you really enjoy doing. And it is safe, clean, and high tech. All right. So we debunked three. So you kind of touched on this a little bit, but the low skilled workers.
Yeah. So we did touch on that a tiny bit, but again, just reiterating the fact that the label low skilled shouldn't come from not needing any prior experience to do well in the industry. What you make of it.
Great point.
Yeah, it's what you make of it. There's training available. Your employers, I can't speak for every single one, but everyone that we've spoken to, which is the state of Massachusetts, is more than open to implementing training for you based on your interest or kind of your roadmap on where you want to end up. And if you don't know where you want to end up and you put your full effort into it and you're learning as you go, only great things can come. It's really what you put into it. If you don't want to learn, you don't do training, you don't advance. If you want to learn, it's available to you. You can excel in manufacturing and you don't need to know all of it before you enter.
Yeah. It's one of those, it's a double-edged, sword for lack of better terms, but it's one of those things where we have heard people who were in a career for years and just didn't want to do it anymore and didn't have any manufacturing experience at all. Went into manufacturing mm-hmm. at a, you know, entry level position and enjoyed it and loved it. It worked better with their lifestyle, with their family, with their work-life balance, and then excelled and then became in on, you know, on an entry level position, maybe on the shop floor, and then slowly worked their way up into skilled level. Possibly some have even gone into, you know, if it's on the management side, whatever it may be, but we heard a lot of that. I think that's that part of that great resignation as well, as people are like, I just don't know if I want to do this anymore. And this mm-hmm. is what we've been seeing. So yes, it can be, you know, they are, it is not just for low skilled workers. It is definitely for anyone that is looking to do something different. If for that, or if they're getting into the pipeline and they're younger and you start to look at the numbers and how much people get paid in manufacturing and then adding in the work-life balance and the benefits.
Full
package. Yeah. It's a full package.
Even just resume building, the amount of training that you can get in, and it's a huge scale.
Yeah.
But that ties into the next myth, that manufacturing jobs are dead end. You know, you don't go anywhere if you go into manufacturing. I think this is probably one of the most important to correct because of that pipeline and wanting kids to understand the value of learning a trade or a skill versus going to school and kind of learning business. It's completely separate. Neither is better than the other. But just to point out, why it isn't dead end is on average in manufacturing, the amount of money that you make per hour is $28.74. So if we compare that to right now, what is that? $3 more, $4 more than the average. $4 is a lot of money per hour. If you want to add that up multiply 4 times your 40 hours in a week. Yeah. It's a, you know, $160 extra on your paycheck. That's a significant difference. That's gas right now for the whole month.
Yeah, right now that's a tank of gas.
So I mean, that's earning an average of $1,100. It's $1,145 and some change, which makes manufacturing, again, that's now the sixth largest employer. So, I mean, as far as dead end goes, there's a ton of opportunity to make a good paycheck and not have to stress.
Yeah.
And that's for people who don't have any prior knowledge. You're coming in, you're working hard, and you get rewarded in your benefits. You really do.
So these numbers are an average hourly earning that was from 2021, and that was across the US.
Yeah, exactly. And that's during COVID too. So you have to kind of weigh in the pros and cons as far as that goes as well. But manufacturing in 2021 contributed $2.3 trillion to the economy. So that's a massive, massive amount of money during a pandemic where people were trying to save or spend because you didn't know how long it would be before you return back to normal life. So that's very, I think that's incredible.
Yeah. We spoke a lot about that during the pandemic and when we were those that were staying essential and pivoting and what they needed to do to stay essential. And I know one of the things, I think something as simple as a vaccine, it's manufacturing. It was manufactured in the state of Massachusetts.
Add on to it. Think of the hand sanitizer. People were basically drinking it during COVID. It was like all over, everywhere you go, it's like, here's a hand sanitizer. You know, it's like masks. Think of the amount of people who switched and created masks. I mean,
The gowns.
Gowns, hospital gowns, you know,
The stuff that we needed. So, so it was,
but that's the stuff that you wouldn't know unless you work in it. Yeah. And it's, people aren't going to tell you that just to tell you that, even though it's incredibly amazing how selfless some of the companies were, but I mean, as a whole, manufacturing, man, you got to learn the reality.
Right. So obviously then myth number six, it's manufacturing is in decline. That is not true. Correct.
Correct. Also not true. And I think this one's easy to confuse because for right now, for example, you're hearing about, you know, shipping containers being backed up and there's crisis getting
supply chain.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's easy to have that opinion, but in the reality of things, it's not declining. Again, consistently increasing. It's not by an extravagant amount, but it is still increasing. So employment, shipments, exports are all on the rise. I think they'll continue to probably be on the rise since we're coming out of COVID now. People are starting to consume more and more and more as we go. We're starting to get back to normal. But manufacturing, again, 11% of the US GDP, it's a third of our economy as a whole.
That's for those of us that didn't take economics, that's gross domestic product.
Okay. Yes. I should specify.
I get it. We're getting an economics lesson right now, everybody. And Emma did just graduate from college with her master's like a year and a half ago. So she's like fresh. This is super fresh for her.
Oh, I know GDP.
All right. For the rest of us though, there are some of us that really were like really economics. Like, whoa, it's like to me, not my thing. I did it. I have a minor in it and I did it cause I could, but yeah. So yeah, so 11, but
thanks for calling me out on that, Haley.
No, it's not you. It's for the rest of us that are like, what's a GDP? What is she talking about?
Gross domestic product.
Yeah, these mass MEP people that always use these acronyms.
Right. An acronym for everything.
We do, yeah.
But again, but anyway, you know,
yeah, but it is 11%, which is, it's a significant number. Yeah.
Significant, and it's a third of our economy as a whole. So all the ins and outs make up, you know, 33%. That's a large chunk. We're the second largest manufacturer in the world. We're responsible for 17% of the world manufacturing activity. So when you take that into consideration of all of the countries on the globe, I would say that we're, again, the opposite of declining. If anything, we're growing, we're expanding, we're figuring out better ways to, you know, manufacture, whether it's in the country or if we're making adjustments overseas and how are we getting the products overseas? If that is the route we're doing, everything's becoming more efficient. And if anything from COVID, it just opened up some of our weak points that now we are acknowledging and are able to adjust accordingly.
I would like for us to be first because I'm very competitive, but I'll go with second for now.
Yeah, I'll take second for now. But it's good to see. And then just a little tidbit.
This is cool.
Right?
I think yeah, this one's cool. I like it.
You don't know the impact of it until like the numbers for me. So I'm like a numbers kid. I like seeing that.
Yeah.
Because it's like we're 33% of the economy. That's insane. But just another little tidbit. Manufacturing sales increased. This is from 2009 to 2019. So it's a 10-year period. Sales increased by 29%. So that includes some of financially incredibly tough times to evolving our processes and our technology, making it a little bit easier. We grew through that. And our exports grew 51%. So more than half. That's remarkable.
Huge.
In 10 years. Yeah. That's
okay. This fun one here though. This the number four.
Seven. Four.
Six under and then 6A number four. Longest continuous. Post-war expansion of manufacturing employment, which took place between 2010 to 2019 with modest but consistent gains. To me, the whole post-war expansion of manufacturing employment. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Post-war expansion of manufacturing employment.
Huh. I think it just goes to show how much we value it too, because we rely on it in some our worst and best times. You rely on manufacturing. Think of the absolute worst. You think of like pandemics. Who's making medicines, who's making equipment, who's making hospital gowns, who's making the hand sanitizer, everything. Who's making the bottle or the labels that you're getting your medication in? All the way up to the best of times, Amazon. You used to have to wait, you know, 6 days for a package. You're receiving your package in the same exact day. So yeah, when you see the evolution, it's incredible.
Crazy.
These are kind of things that make me kind of geek out a little bit. Like as I read it, I feel like I'm getting more animated. I'm trying to tell myself to reel it in.
That's good. All right. So we have two left. We've debunked that it's a poor career choice. We know it's a good, great career choice. It's for men, women, or anyone that's interested. It is not dark, dirty, and dangerous. It is safe, clean, and high tech. It is for any skilled level. It is not just low skilled workers, which is so just wrong. The jobs are not, you know, it is not a dead end job in manufacturing. You can constantly upskill and learn and grow, and that it is not in decline. So it's continually to move forward. So we have two myths left, and these next two are probably hot points right now with what's going on with everything in the world. So
these are the two I hear most often besides the 3D.
Yes.
Okay. 3D is a big stereotype, but these two I hear most often.
Okay. Yeah. Number seven is automation will eliminate jobs.
Yes. Everyone has a fear of robots.
Right.
Again, this is something I used to say. I was like, well, if robots are coming in, what happens to those people working?
Yeah.
But then we stop there. Everyone stops and we're fine with just that open-ended. But to answer the question, there's numbers to back it up. The first one seems scary, but the second one is what matches it. You know, when robots come in, they not only make the process much more safe, much more efficient, but it creates different opportunities you didn't have prior. So my example, you're on the line, you're doing the work yourself. A robot now comes in and the robot's performing that job. Your job doesn't get cut because there's a robot there. Your job now just changes, it shifts. Because you and the robot are essentially a left hand and a right hand, and you're doing the same exact thing. So your job now is learning how to operate that robot.
Yeah.
But it helps you on a line. It takes away a lot of the risk factors that come into it, but it also expands your knowledge. When before would you haven't had an opportunity to kind of dive in and learn that technology? You wouldn't have. But now it's working side by side, making your job safer and easier. So 75 million jobs is what robots took. But because those robots took those roles, we added 133 million more jobs. So more than what was lost. And again, those jobs are, you're learning how to fix the robot. If something goes wrong, what happens and how do you do it? There's different processes in place now that everything's automated. You have to learn how to operate different kinds of platforms and systems and be able to regulate, you know, how much the robots are doing, when to cut them off, maintenance, all of that stuff. It just opens up more opportunities for you to expand your own knowledge while being safe.
Right. This goes into Industry 4.0, which mm-hmm. is a big word. And a lot of people, you know, anything like that, they're like, oh, this is like the Jetsons and those type of things. Yeah. But it's
not 133s for this year.
Right.
That's 2022, the jobs that will be opening because of automation.
So that is because of the upskilling, and it goes to that advanced manufacturing or automated. And what it could possibly happen are things like going back to the work-life balance. And you're saying the robot doesn't run itself. We're not Terminator. You know, this isn't, you know, Arnold showing up at your front door. I'll be back. Like, that's not what we're in right now. This is one of those things where it could be that work-life balance, and that if you have to program, you know, the Internet of Things, you can see how the operations are running. You're collecting the data off of the machines that are doing the work for you, but maybe it is a day where you can't go into the factory or on the floor that day, but can work in a remote situation and still program and still operate. And now they're even looking at things with, you know, the AR, augmented reality, where you can do the repairs. You put those goggles on and you're actually seeing the machine in front of you, and you're walking somebody through the steps that you're working remotely, but somebody might actually be in that position in that moment. And they're going to make that repair or pick up the, you know, the pace on what it may be. So yeah, it really...
And it's good for tasks that are really repetitive. So like a robot, you know, it's not just this big, fancy, shiny toy.
Yeah.
Things that are being automated are routine, they're repetitive, they're predictable, and it's tasks that have to get done. Because if not, there's a large impact, but it's just over and over and over.
Yeah.
A robot can do that now.
Yeah.
Increased labor. You know, there's certain hours people can work. Robots can run all day.
Yeah.
So it kind of... the problem solving, being able to adapt to different situations. Again, COVID, everyone was working on overdrive. And then creative thinking. It just increases people's ability to be able to have an impact. What do we need? What kind of robots need to be implemented? It kind of gets everyone collaborating on where the direction of the business is going. But it also increases jobs. We talked about engineering, and engineers making up such a large amount of the manufacturing industry. But they have bigger impacts as well. So for example, just jobs that are being sought after
yeah.
that have increased over the last couple of years. Data analytics, it's yeah. a massive one. AI, machine learning specialists, software and application development. So it's a bunch of positions that were already in place, but now are just rapidly expanding as our technology grows. And it helps us maintain our competitiveness internationally.
Mm-hmm.
The more you can produce, more competitive that you can be, and it just helps us be an international competitor. Mm-hmm. 72% of manufacturing tasks human beings still perform.
Right.
So when you think a robot is coming in and doing your whole job, it's not the case. 28% of it they're doing. Everything else you're still doing. 72% of your job is still in place, with 28 still there but shifted.
Yeah.
So you don't lose anything. You're still doing it.
You're upskilling, you're learning, you're growing, and you're developing, and you're also helping the company develop, which causes growth. So usually mm-hmm. when there's growth, that means you're doing well and that the business is just going to keep flowing. So it's not a dead end job, and you're going to be there, and you could, you know, always.
And you could leave there a high skilled worker because you learned all about AI and automation.
Yep. Yeah. You could have come in at entry level.
I couldn't have told you what AI stood for. Before I enter manufacturing, and now look at us talking about robots.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you knew what AR was, maybe not AI, but now you knew what AR was. So, all right. So we're on to our last myth.
Yes.
Manufacturing is harmful to the environment.
Yes. That's factory stigma. You think of factory, you think of smog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You ever driven down to Florida? You're driving through, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Going through all those big plantations, and it just smells of like sulfur, and like there's all that smog. That's what I think of when it came to manufacturing. I was like, that's what that is.
Yeah.
But again, not the case. The more we increase our technology, the more we learn about climate change as a whole. Mm-hmm. It's not going anywhere. All we can do is learn the best that we can and try to alleviate some of the negative things that we've added. But now that we're aware of them, adoption of like lean manufacturing
that kind of thing means actually cutting down on raw material. So a great example of this is 3D printers. We used to build houses with wood. You used to use natural resources for the ins and outs of everything. We're 3D printing homes. Instead of going out and buying a shed, you get a 3D printed shed, where it's the longevity is still the same, but we're using different resources because we only have so many of them. That's why it's raw materials. You know, there's not, you don't get them forever. Mm-hmm. So just finding different ways to implement them. So, you know, cutting down on certain raw materials and finding other alternatives. And again, the sustainability, it just allows for reducing energy consumption, mm-hmm. keeping your air clean, keeping water clean. For example, lighting systems that have come in today, we've reduced our energy by 40%. Energy management systems that have come into play, optimizing usage, that's 30% of the energy consumption you were using before. So we're trying to minimize as we go. But again, it's over time. The more we learn, the more technology evolves, the better we can be. You're seeing it now with things like electric cars.
Right.
We're starting to shift more towards batteries, solar energy, and that sort. But sustainability in manufacturing means profitability. So no manufacturer is shying away from bettering themselves. If anything, it just means more money.
Yeah, so a perfect example of that is AIS. They are headquartered in Leominster, Mass. And they're, you said about solar energy, their entire, yeah. If you go to their website at AIS-INC.com, when you pull up their website and you'll see an aerial view of their headquarters, and across the entire roof is solar panels. It's solar panels. So they use that solar energy to power their facility. And I think, I apologize ahead of time if I'm misquoting what I've said, but I also think a lot of it goes back into the town of Leominster as well, because they're collecting so much of it, because this man, and I'm no, and listen, don't send me any hate, you know, at me's right now, because I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to solar watt energy and kilowatt. I'm not saying I do, but I mean, I'm looking at it and just sprinkling common sense into things going, that's a lot of solar panels. So I can't imagine how much energy that collects in a time period, but they did that, and that's how they run. So yes, so you're right. It's definitely what they're seeing, what they're doing, and knowing how to put back in what they're sending out and recycling it over and over, reuse and recycling back and forth.
I'll use another example too. A company I was just speaking to is Turtle. So they have their, I want to call it like a weed whacker on, you know, up and above, but it's basically this device that weeds your garden and you never have to touch it because it's solar powered. Yeah. So it goes around your yard. If it dies, it stops. It collects enough energy for it to turn back on and go back to its dock. You don't ever have to worry about it. But things like that, technology, you don't even have to touch it anymore. It kind of is running itself. And it's based on solar energy. It's really amazing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. So
outdoor, extension cords.
That's so great. So yeah. So those were the top 8 myths. And then we did not come up with this data all on our own, obviously. However, the actual content though, Em, can you give credit to where you collected some of your data from, please, if you wouldn't mind, just to, those people deserve it. They did do all the dirty work for it, and they did do all the research on it. So I know some of it you did collect on your own, but we like
to. Yeah, but the one I really want to give credit to is NIST. The Manufacturing Essential Partnership as a whole. They have a really amazing website, nist.gov/MEP. And on it, you can find things like infographics, reports, innovation blogs, all of the sorts. But one of the best infographics they have is actually based in and around myths. And that's where I pulled a lot of those numbers from. So if you're looking for different percentages, or you yourself want to go in and see where that exact number was found, it's all logged online here. But it's just a really great way to kind of understand manufacturing and what's going on in it, and debunk those myths that everyone has cemented in their brain, because more likely than not, they are not true.
All right. So there you go. So for those manufacturers out there, you're welcome. We support you 110%. We're right behind you. And we know that you know that all of this wasn't true anyway. And then for those of you manufacturers that are out there, that know somebody that might benefit from listening to this, send them this to our podcast, send them our way and have them listen to it and go to the website. Like Em said, it's nist.gov/MEP. And you'll find all of the collaterals there with that information on it. And you can connect to it through us as well at massmep.org. But those of you that do listen to us that maybe aren't manufacturers, it might be in the education world, because we do have a lot of people that we work with on the education realm when it comes
to this information. Yes. With your classrooms.
Yes. Yeah. So this is the stuff that, you know, these are the things that you'll start to see. So in October, every year, the first Friday of every month is Manufacturing Day. And that is one of those, October for us is Manufacturing Month in Massachusetts. And it is a way for our manufacturers to put a showcase up and to show what they do. And that is part of where this pipeline would be interested in. So this is just going to help you kind of feed into that. We're hoping that when Manufacturing Month comes around, this is where some of these manufacturers can, they can spotlight themselves and show what they really do have to offer. And you can see it in person and get those pipelines in there, which is our youth. It is our youth and getting them into these jobs. So, all right, well, great job. Thanks for the input. That was a lot of great input. We appreciate it. And hopefully everybody enjoys it. And well, we hope everybody has a great summer. Don't worry. We won't be gone long. We will be back again soon. Thanks for listening to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can always go to our website at massmep.org. So we'll see you next time, whether it's our space, your space, or cyberspace.